to get started. And
I'll let you open with prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together to learn about our will and how our free will works. And we ask that if there be any errors, that they would fall on deaf ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so kind of got my page up here. I'm going to read from it kind of straightforward, a little bit on comments. So what if I believe in free will? That is free will for mankind. I guess this would, everybody might define free will differently. So not based upon this definition, but this is one of the definitions given by Webster. Free will is a voluntary choice or decision, and then I looked up decision. Decision, the act or result of deciding. And so you have a decision being made. You're going to do something. Now, you can choose when or how you're going to go check your mail, you know, walk or take your car in many cases. But can we choose something of eternal consequences, i.e. salvation, doing something to please God, or just doing something that God would consider good in general, right? Okay. And who does free will apply to? Okay, we're going to open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of this kingdom, kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3. All of us also living among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So everybody starts off in the same place. Sinful. Nobody's has any higher standing from one another. And the second scripture I have here is Romans 7:18. Let's go flip back to Romans. Romans 7:18. I know that nothing good lives in me, Paul speaking, that is, in my sin nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Of course, this applied to Paul when he was speaking it, but it also applies to an unsaved person. They really have no choice but to do the will of their nature. So, Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. For For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. A fallen man, a natural man, has no choice. He cannot choose God, as we'll see in scriptures coming up. But they have to do that which their nature dictates. And Genesis 6:5. This is speaking to some of the stuff that we had read earlier with Ben. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. So he can't. Not only can he not choose what he's going to do, but he can't even control what he's going to be thinking about. And I've got a quote here, major Bible themes from Schaeffer, and not to use extra biblical sources, but this had a really good definition. Okay, so this is talking about the depravity of man. The concept of total depravity is not that every man is as evil as he possibly could be, but rather that through his nature, it is corrupted by sin. So, depravity doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he's going to kill, maim, destroy everything or everyone that's around him. Depravity just means, you know, the separation between you and God. You're depraved. You know. So, man is depraved. Some people speak about how good a man or woman might be, how ethical they are, or how nice they are, that basically in their heart that they're a good person, but this shows otherwise. It shows where mankind's thoughts would be and where mankind's actions are apart from God. So we're going to flip back to Ephesians again. Ephesians 4:18 through 19. Ephesians 4, 18 and 19. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Again, speaking to, you know, where man goes where he is naturally. Flip over to 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, right there. They don't even have a choice as to what they can see. Their God chooses what they see and what they don't see, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That it's being withheld from them. And of course, he has authority over them being their children. So where is free will with an unsaved man? We're going to flip back to Exodus 4:21. Now, Holland brought something to my attention when I was writing this out, and I understand that Pharaoh's heart, being hard already, was hardened by God. But again, where is their free will? The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do, but when I harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." So his heart is hard already. He's already has a strong will to resist against God. And the things that God does, these miracles, just further to harden his heart. So an unsaved man, when presented with anything other than the gospel, even it being signs and wonders, has no choice but to be hard towards them. Okay. And flip over now to Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So, you might have it in mind to do something, but only God makes his will be done for certain. So you might choose something. If it is in God's desire that you do something, and you are contrary, like when Paul was supposed to be going to the Gentiles and he chose not to, well, God didn't determine that he was going to go. He desired it, but did not set it in stone. It was not the decree that he would go. So he makes his decision, but in the long run, God is the one who's going to determine what is okay, what can be done, and what can't be done. And then again, it's basically the same. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is in the Lord's purpose that prevails. You could think to do something, doesn't mean that's going to happen. So again, only if God allows. We're going to back up to the New Testament, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do, to act according to his good purpose. So here we have New Testament believers that are obeying in the absence of Paul. And so now you have a believer, and they have a choice. You can follow the old nature, or you could be spiritual. Now you start to get free will. But still, with Paul, he might decide that he's not going to go. But, you know, so he doesn't go to the Gentiles, and he goes to prison instead. A small decision, but a decision nonetheless. So this is the way that I've seen free will, is that as a saved person, now you have some choice. Whereas before, you basically had no choice. So John 6:44, in the first half of the verse. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. Father has to draw them. It's not a choice of their own. Isaiah 64:7. Isaiah 64:7. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and make us waste away because of our sins. Okay. The night Josh was talking about grace and about how Mary was able to, by keeping the law, seek the favor of God. And but in her circumstance, she has faith in the object that God has put in front of them, so she's saved. So she has a choice. Whereas it looks like Israel here is not choosing. So, there's their choice. Back to Romans. It's gonna illustrate the same point here. Romans 3:11. Speaking about a natural man, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. No one chooses good. No one chooses God. No one understands him. No one seeks after him. So, a natural man has no free will, except to do what their nature dictates. There's the separation. See, if they could do good, then there would be no separation between them and God. Sin would not have separated them if they could choose good. Matthew 22:14. Matthew 22:14. For many are invited, but few are chosen. So, they don't choose, so God has to choose for them, for us. not one of them. Ephesians 2 again. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and is not of yourself. You didn't choose it. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God chose and gave it to them from His grace. Romans 9:16. Romans 9:16. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort. So it's not your thought or your work, but on God's mercy. God never claimed that if you worked really hard that you could choose something good. He's never said that anybody was good of themselves. And flip back to Romans 6:20. Romans 6:20. When you were a slave to sin, natural man is a slave to sin. Does a slave get to choose what work he's going to do? You were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things resulting in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. Now, this master, in many cases, does give you a choice. And he shows you things. Doesn't blind you. The other master blinds you, keeps things from you, makes decisions for you. Ephesians 2 again. All of us started out the same place. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. We just read them. No one, again, is set to us in a place of privilege or a place where that they can reach for God or even see Him because they're blinded by their master. And then staying here in Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, God gives you choice. And in verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. God shows you and educates you so that you do not have to be a slave to that old master. Don't act like his child. Don't do the things or be blinded by those things that he would blind you by. Ephesians 1 again. Ephesians 1:5. I should say Ephesians 1:1-5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he has chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in the sight. In love, he predestinated us to be adopted, again with adoption. Who chooses the child? The child or the parent? Who chooses? The child or the parent? It's the parent. The parent finds the child. The child's young and unwise and probably wouldn't choose a parent. They'd choose to be on their own, at least in these circumstances. In accordance with his pleasure and will, with according to his will. So even if you have a choice, he's telling you what his will is, what his desire is for you, whose will should you follow. Even if you have free will to choose, you have a choice. You can choose to do God's will, or you can choose to do the will of your old nature. But this master, God, gives you a choice, whether you will follow the old nature or whether you will follow his good works. Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God is trying to form us. He's trying to convert us to the likeness of his Son. And he determined this in times past. You did not choose. He chose for you. Second Timothy 2:24. Second Timothy 2:24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. A servant of who? Who are you a servant of? Who are you, whose slave are you? Whose work, whose will you do? Your own, which is the same as Satan, or will you do his will? And another is that God gives repentance. It says right there. See. He will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth. God tells us how to behave in here. But not everything God tells us to do is an absolute. God has desire and a determination, and God's desire is for you to be good to one another, to live a good life, to love one another, to not be quarrelsome with one another. Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts 15, 8 through 9. And God knows the heart. Showed that he had accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinctions between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith, showing no difference between Jew and Greek or Jew and Gentile, and that God is the one who does the work of purifying of the heart, not ourselves. So, who has free will, was the question. We know that God has a will to do those things that he is determined to do, and they will happen. If you or I will something, will it come to pass? That's the question. Can we will to do something of eternal consequence? We can now. Before, as a natural man, you had no choice. You were a slave. You were blinded and led the direction that he would have you go. Thank you. Sorry, that was so short.
Have a
question. Go ahead.
I've got one comment really quick, just in relationship to the last comment. And then as far as doctrinal theses go, I was just curious how long they have to be, and there is no length. It's based on content. A doctrinal thesis can be 50 pages long, or it can be 500 pages, based on the content, not the quantity. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. In relationship to what happened with the term free agency?
I know free agency is... You mean within a government, a free agency?
The Mormons really use the term a lot, free agency. And they mean free will. And it's kind of interesting in the light of the scripture that you have brought out. They say that Jesus was the spirit brother of Satan, mm-hmm. and that God had the decree, and that Jesus said that man would have free will, and Satan said, no, you gotta force him. And basically, it's the other way around.
As far as free will, as far as I've studied yours and my free will, that it does exist, but it's not all the time. God gives a time and a place that you can exercise free will, and then other times he's determined that something's going to happen, and that you can't, no matter what you've planned to do, no matter how hard your heart is, as a saved person,
like moving to Royal City.
It's going to happen.
So. That fits
right in with Prohorizo that he's marked out the bounds around, so there's room to move, but there's boundaries to it. There's only so far you can go.
You said you had a couple questions. You asked one.
Well, the other is, I guess I'm more commenting. The other thing that came to my mind is you talking about being a slave of the old sin nature, or you're a slave to God.
You act as though you're a sin or a slave to the old sin nature. If you're a saved person, you're still not his slave, but you can act as though you are.
Right. And I was mindful of in the Old Testament, you could be a slave because you had a debt and you had to work it off. But you also, when you had your debt worked off, you could become a slave by choice because of love. And so when Jesus bought us and he really and freed us, we then are free to be that love slave to him, where we serve him out of love, not out of compulsion. Which is
voluntary.
He wants us to put that all through our ear, the circumcision of our heart.
Anybody else? Jeremy, that's good. Jeremy, the Presbyterian pastor in St. Louis, Missouri, that taught C.I. Schofield Hebrew, his name was James Paul Brooks. He used to, every once in a while, James Brooks did what he called scripture messages. Trico, or shouldn't they always be that? But all he'd do is, he would just take a list of scriptures that taught a common theme, and he would just string them together. And all he'd do is get up there and read them from one scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture with hardly any comment in between. And I've always thought, I should really try this sometime. Jeremy kind of came close with some of this a little bit today. But I thought, you know, this is, it'd be interesting to just do this and then stop at the end and ask everybody, did you kind of get the theme? Because I think, I don't know if you ever feel like this, but sometimes I almost wonder if maybe our comments, I'm more afraid of this than myself, that sometimes adding too much comment can distract from what the word's saying. I know my wife says, she tells me, now your story really. So, yeah.
She means it in
love. Well, for the saints at the very least.
Well, the more you speak, the more percentage of chance of there's going to be some.
Yeah.
That's part of public speaking and human frailty.
Sometimes it just creates fog.
Pardon me?
What?
Sometimes it just creates fog.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for being here over the last few days. I'm going to ask our brother Edward if he would close us with a prayer. With the word prayer.
Father, thank you for these men that have shown us love by preparing and teaching us from your word. Thank you that your Holy Spirit will take it and will use it in our lives. And thank you that we can serve you as our master out of love, even as Leslie pointed out, and not as a harsh taskmaster, and that you give us a choice in your turn at will to choose things that would bring glory to you or not. And we know that anything that we do that would have any eternal significance and last would be works that you work through us. So even that, you're the one doing it. But thank you that you allow us to participate in that. And I thank you for this time this weekend. We're in Jesus' name.
You all have a great afternoon. Hopefully you can stay in. Visit Fellowship Women Reps.